And I want to talk about this, the push on cops. There's always an attack. Really, I mean, it seems like there's always an attack. And you guys know me. I'm pretty partial to the cops. My, as a kid in Brooklyn, my brothers were on the job, NYPD. And when I, all I wanted to do was be a cop when I was a kid. And as I got older, they said, no, no, Richie, do this, do that. You're good at talking. Go into sales. Go into this. Do that. And I did a lot of things. But I didn't become a cop. And it was always stuck with me. So when I was old enough, I remember my daughter once came home with a mug, like a sketch of somebody that was offering little kids money to get in his car. And I lived in a small town in Jersey, Nutley, New Jersey. And the next day, the police department had all these signs saying, help the police, join our police reserve. And there was an abbreviated police academy. It was like 3 months long instead of the 6 months. And so I did that. I used to drive the police car. And it was really cool. I did use of force training. And I, you know, parade duty and stuff like that, some court duty. Never anything major. You know, I always say I was a very glorified crossing guard, but you know, helping the guys who are really doing the job. But I have nothing but respect for those in law enforcement, and it's always a shame when they're under attack. Now, granted, like with that story that came out of what state was that in, that Tyree case? Anybody? Nobody remembers. Memphis. There we go. that was a horrible story, and those guys, you know, were giving all cops a bad name. But by and large, the people that serve in uniform, the men and women that are out there risking their lives, they do an amazing job. But yet they're constantly under pressure from Democrat lawmakers with ties to the defund the police movement that are always trying to just disarm them and to just make them weaker and weaker and remove qualified immunity. I said, you know what, we got to get to the bottom of this. So I wanted to bring in an expert to really talk about, you know, some of the headlines that we're looking at right now, about some of the cops that have been shot and killed, because I think this is a big deal. And I want to welcome Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. She's spokesperson for the National Police Association. Welcome, Sarge.
Hey, thank you so much for having me to talk about something that is so important and should be on more people's minds, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, Sergeant Brantner Smith, let's talk about this first case. I have one in front of me here. Horrible story about Officer Sean Slagansky.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Oh, okay. The notes I have said that you wanted to talk about this, so I guess that's not the case. But he was shot in Pittsburgh is the note that I've got here. And it seems like he was the third cop shot in the line of duty in just a series of days. And I think, man, this is not a good look. Are you guys up to speed on this story?
Yes, we are. I'm sorry. There's been so much happened since his death. We've had five police officers killed by gunfire already this year in 2023. So we also had a sixth officer that just succumbed to his injuries.
Wow.
2 days ago, he was chasing carjackers in Colorado. And during the foot pursuit, he fell off the overpass. And he just succumbed to his injuries 2 days ago. So we've already had six police officers killed feloniously. And the officer that you're talking about, was actually a high-ranking officer in his agency. And it's so incredibly frustrating because, you know, we tend to talk about officers who get killed. But we've had nearly 40 police officers shot already this year. And in fact, the number of officers shot so far this year are up 113% compared to the officers shot in 2020. And I want to point out too to folks that at least, so far this year, we've had 10 police officers shot in ambush style attacks. So there truly is a war on cops in this country. And we don't seem to be getting a handle on it because, you know, well, there's many reasons for that you and I can talk about. But people, you know, the American public you pull them time after time after time. They continue to have confidence in American law enforcement. They continue to have care and concern for cops, not just our physical safety, but for our mental well-being. But we can't seem to get the political class to come along with the American public on their desire to keep American law enforcement safe.
Folks, we're on with Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association. And we're going to discuss a little bit more about what's going on and the impact that the defund the police movement is still having on law enforcement as a whole. Plus a couple of headlines when we return. Don't go anywhere. I am Rich Valdez.
What is frustrating in these situations is that when they happen, the response used to be, well, now is not the time to talk about gun safety laws. We've kind of moved away from that, but we've moved to a slightly fatalistic, well, none of the laws would have actually prevented this particular shooting, and it's become almost an excuse not to do anything. And you kind of think, what's happened in this country? You look at that list of things that Joe Biden wants to do, particularly banning assault weapons. What's happened in America since the 1990s when Republicans voted in favor of that? I mean, it was what has changed in this country? And you only have to think that it's the Republican Party that has moved the country away from being able to implement things that the majority of the country wants.
All right. I'm not sure if it's Caddy or Katie, but Katie Kay or Caddy Kay, she's from the BBC News. She's a special correspondent there. She was on The Morning Joke today with Joke Scarborough talking about gun control laws and that the majority of the country wants, but they just can't be implemented because of the evil GOP. And whatever happened to the Republicans of the 1990s that wanted to ban guns? Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith is our guest, spokesperson for the National Police Association. Do you think gun control is really the problem here?
Well, let's take a look at what just happened at Michigan State University a couple of nights ago in East Lansing, Michigan. We had a 43-year-old man who went and for no apparent reason, we can't seem to find a motive, shot and killed three people, critically wounded five others. Now, what would gun control have done in that situation? Well, in 2019, the police did a stop and frisk on this man, a legal stop and frisk, patted him down, talked to him, said, do you have a gun? He said, yeah, I do. I have a loaded gun. And I don't have a permit. So they arrested him. They charged him with two felonies. And what did the woke George Soros installed prosecutor in that county do? She let him plead down to a misdemeanor. Instead of the 5 years in prison he should have gotten, he got probation. At the end of his probation, he was able to go out and legally purchase another firearm so that he could attack students at Michigan State. We don't need more gun control. We need to use the laws that we have on the books and punish people who violate those laws, like Mr. McRae, who shot up the campus two nights ago. And I have 100 of those very similar examples.
And this is an excellent point, because, again, this man went on to shoot people at MSU. He could have easily have been at least banned from passing a background check, so he would have had to have bought the gun illegally. It wouldn't have had access. And everybody wants to say, oh, but you got to do background checks. How about just enforcing the law, like what you're pointing out? How about just locking people up when they violate the law? And this way we know who the bad guys are. We kind of keep them in jail or at least keep a record of them without saying, oh, no, let's let this guy go. We'll wait till he kills some people. We'll bring him back. And that happens all the time in New York and other places where they have this no cash bail and these woke prosecutors that are really, in my opinion, they're like pro-crime prosecutors where they don't prosecute anything.
Well, they really are. We're under an atmosphere of what what these prosecutors and these activists call restorative justice. So what they want to do is use the justice system to get almost reparation-like a reparation-like atmosphere for people who are criminals. And the problem that we have, and of course, this started in 2014, and which is where the war on cops started in Ferguson, Missouri, with the legal shooting of a young man named Michael Brown, who was trying to disarm a Ferguson, Missouri police officer. But the way that the Obama administration came in and treated that case, even though they had Obama's own DOJ had to eventually admit that the shooting of Michael Brown was justified. Let's not forget that just last week at the State of the Union address, President Joe Biden had Michael Brown's father sitting with him, with the father and mother of Tyre Nichols. Now, Tyre Nichols was the young man killed in Memphis by five former police officers. And that is a horrible case. That's not police culture. That's criminal culture. But to have those poor people who really are the victims of the criminal justice system in Memphis to sit next to the father of a thug who had just done a strong arm robbery and then tried to disarm a cop. I have a real problem with that. This atmosphere of restorative justice has led to de-prosecution, de-policing, and now the de-incarceration of real criminals. And the American public is paying the price for it now when you look at our crime rates all around this nation.
Yeah, and this is really unfortunate, in my opinion, because we can avoid so much of these things, but yet we choose to bring them on. We choose to continue the status quo. And I think this is where we fail. Now, Sarge, let's talk a little bit about these woke policies and the impact that we're continuing to see, whether it's from the pro-crime prosecutors or from the actual, like, defund the police movement that was once alive and well. And I think it began to fizzle when people said, you know, we can't get elected on this. It's very difficult in most districts to get elected on destroying the police. But is it still as prevalent as it once was, or are we winning the battle? What say you?
Well, what's happening is, you know, the defund the police movement started to be walked back when we got closer to the election last November. But then, that didn't really do any good for the Republicans. That was that whole election kind of fizzled for the most part. So now we're seeing some resurrection of the defund the police movement. But we're also seeing things like, for example, in California, there is a new law that just became available to read yesterday. They're trying to get this passed where they're trying to do away with police canines. So police dogs, and they talk about, oh, police dogs are from the civil rights era and they're racist. Dogs are colorblind, by the way. And they're trying to use this as a racial issue. In reality, what I believe they're doing is they're trying to take away one more less lethal tool from American law enforcement. They're going to chip away at the tools that we have to protect not only ourselves, but again, to protect the American public. So the defund the police movement is not quite as vocal in all areas, but there are still so many legislators, activist legislators, who are trying to do things to damage American law enforcement. And it's so bizarre because what they end up doing is damaging their own constituents. It's just that a lot of their constituents don't realize the damage that these politicians are causing. And it's very frustrating.
Excellent point. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith is the spokesperson for the National Police Association. And straight ahead, we're going to hear a little bit more about the work that she's doing with the National Police Association. Plus, after that, we're going to talk about the laws that are being put in place to protect children from sex changes. Apparently, there are a lot of people that are looking to do sex changes on minors, and certain states are putting legislation into effect saying, look, you can't do it while they're minors. So we're going to talk about that at the top of the next hour. And if you want to join that conversation, we'll be discussing that during Open Phone America. And the phone number is 833-4-VALDEZ, 833-482-5337. We're coming back to Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith.
This is America at Night with Rich Valdez. This is America. This is Night. This is Rich Valdez.
All right, welcome back. It's Rich Valdez. Our guest is Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association. And just an update here. Several hours ago, there was a shooting at a mall in Cielo Vista, El Paso area of Texas. And one person is dead, three people are injured, and two suspects are now in custody, according to the police. Now, this mall is located right next to the Walmart where 23 people were killed in a racist shooting back in August of 2019, where they were shooting Hispanics. Looks like a pretty tough part of town, and just wanted to give you a quick update on that. Now, Sarge, I don't know if you want to add anything to that shooting, but I also want to know a little bit more about the work that you're doing at the National Police Association.
Well, we are we're a charity. You know, we're not a union. You know, and it sounds like we're a police union or something. We're not. What we do is we bring attention to all of the anti-police efforts that are challenging effective American law enforcement in this country. You know, we finally decided that, you know, after 2014, that we had to do something about this war on cop, because there's so much propaganda out there that police are the problem. So we have a website, nationalpolice.org. We do mailings. We do national TV and radio public service announcements. We do legal filings, whether it's a Supreme Court case where we file an amicus brief on a case that might be problematic for law enforcement officers to do their jobs, or right now we're in litigation with the Biden administration because they're ignoring our FOIA requests about the Border Patrol whipping case. If everybody remembers, Joe Biden accused Border Patrol agents of whipping Haitian migrants. And even though it's been found out, you know, for a long time that these agents did nothing of the sort, we wanted to just get the correspondence from the Biden administration to find out why the president turned this into such an issue that really shouldn't have been. And they're ignoring us. So we're in litigation with them. I have a show on Pluto and the First TV, streaming on the First TV and on our YouTube channel called the NPA Report, where I talk to various leaders in and around our profession. We have a team of authors that write original articles. I encourage everybody to go to our website, nationalpolice.org, and click on, I mean, look at everything, but click on our wall of shame, where we are calling out judges, we are calling out prosecutors who are making it hard for law enforcement officers to help themselves and to help the victims of violent crime in this country. People would be really surprised by what they read there. We have a wonderful team of authors and researchers, and we do it all with donations. We have a Thank a Cop billboard program that you can see all around this country. When you see those Thank a Cop billboards, that's us at nationalpolice.org. And we enjoy supporting the men and women who put their lives on the line every day, every night in this country.
Outstanding work that you're doing at the National Police Association. If you want to learn more about them, visit nationalpolice.org. Our guest is Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, again, the spokesperson there at the National Police Association. And, Sarge, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing and for being here tonight and really enlightening us on a lot of things. The music means they're kicking me out of here, but I want to invite you back so that we can continue this discussion in the future.
I can't wait. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. All right, folks, there is more to come straight ahead. It's Open Phone America. I see some calls already coming in. We're going to get to all of that and more. Don't go anywhere. I am Rich Valdez. This is America at Night. Open phones start right now.